The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, waiting for your call in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Perhaps you've had a problem. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that you thought was going to be useful. Guess what? It didn't work, right? Well, here's an opportunity. Let's figure it out. Let's put a different spin on the subject, so to speak, and see if you can do it and turn your life around and regain your health and wellness. That's why we do this program on a weekly basis, and we do it live because we want to take your questions. 888-630-9625. We have a topic for you, one that is very important, one that's ignored over a period of time can actually kill you. What am I talking about? Well, we're talking about something that makes your blood pressure rise, and we're talking about high blood pressure and the effect it has on the nervous system, the effect it has on your heart and cardiovascular system. The fact that there's about one out of every three adults in the United States that have high blood pressure, and they're saying that there's about 20 to 25% of you that don't even know it. Well, that's unfortunate because there's a lot of things that can happen and you can not end up here tomorrow morning if you don't understand the ramifications. And we're going to talk about that today. But in studio, somebody to help me out, somebody to walk us through this, you know, the brightest of the family at the Rozelle Center. Dr. Scott Lamp.
Like, again, checks in the mail.
Thank you very much. I was briefed well before the program, and, you know, just remember you owe me.
You got it. Yeah, this is a hard-hitting thing. It's interesting. And the last class I did was we had to do a lot of things with sugar, and it's just how the impaction on top of this plays a lot with the cardiovascular and the hypertension and these things and blood pressures and things and strokes. And, you know, you were talking about the statistics there. I'm looking at the hypertension is the leading cause of cardiovascular disease worldwide. We have things like, only like 52% of the people seek out treatment. And yeah, it's a big silent killer. So there's a lot of things here that are extremely important. I mean, oxygen is good. You need to get things flowing well. You got to get things opened up and moving and flowing and be dynamic as human beings. And we do so many things, as we talk about probably throughout this hour that we have, that get in the way of that.
Dr. Scott, let me ask you a question. What is normal blood pressure? You know, this is, it's all over the place. From the time I went to school till now, it's like the parameters, like so many things, have expanded and expanded. What do you consider, in your opinion, clinically as being normal?
You know, a systolic and a diastolic pressure. They're usually, when you hear the numbers, the first number is a systolic pressure and the bottom number is a diastolic number. And then you have an average of the first one between 100 to 140. They start saying benign hypertension starts happening at 149 in the systolic number. And, you know, everybody's saying, you got to be 120 over 80 is supposed to be the perfect number for it. There's a lot of variabilities to that. I mean, on the diastolic, 60 to 80 is supposed to be reasonably good. Again, that's kind of like it's constantly changing through the years. So,
well, I have an opinion. I'm probably going to mention it before the program's over.
But, why don't you let's listen to it?
Yeah. We're going to get into this. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. First, we have to understand what blood pressure really is. And blood pressure is the upper portion, as you said, the systolic pressure, is the amount of pressure that the heart exerts trying to push the blood through the arterial bed.
Right.
The bottom pressure, the diastolic, so you can remember systolic, diastolic. Diastolic means down, so the lower pressure is what's left in the arterial bed after the heart contracts. So it's a relaxation phase of that mm-hmm. situation. So we have this contraction, relaxation type of situation. You know, years ago, you know, blood pressure parameters were higher, and now we're seeing them shrink down. So my question becomes, is it because that we're really in a much more deleterious, dangerous situation, that they've monitored and, documented over a period of time, saying that if you get your blood pressure up to 128, a lot of physicians out there say, "Oh my God, your pressure is too high. If we don't get it down,
yeah.
You know, we're going to have to medicate you." Really? I don't think so. And you know, when an older person's blood pressure comes up, and older people need slightly higher blood pressure for a lot of reasons, right?
Well, I think one of the big things is when people don't realize is that if we start restricting the blood pressure in an older person, then we start creating falls. You're not getting enough oxygen to the brain sometimes. They might be lightheaded. So the question is what takes you out? If you get too severe on that particular and you create falls, you hit your head, that's a ticket out.
Yeah, you're done. You know, but a lot of that blood pressure situation, is it because, you know, you're passing out because the blood pressure drops, right, as you just, you know, you suggested?
Right.
You know, or does it get too high where you get that throbbing, pulsing, you know, disorientation feeling and you fall? It can happen either way.
Either way, right.
So you're ending up with a situation that you really have to understand. And the problem is that we have so many other medications in today's world that are causing hypertension, high blood pressure.
Right.
You know, how many people take acetaminophen? Side effect of acetaminophen is high blood pressure. So you're taking acetaminophen for whatever reason, and now you're putting alcohol, causes high blood pressure. You can continue going on to, and here's one of the things. How many people do you know that walk into our clinic on a regular basis that are on any kind of anxiety or antidepressant medication?
Probably 75%, 50 to 75.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And guess what that causes?
High blood pressure.
Hypertension. So yeah. Here we are. We're in this catch 22. We're chasing our tail and, you know, we're trying to figure out how to handle it. So one medication puts into another. And pretty soon you've got all kinds of, I call it a self-serving drug potpourri.
Right.
You know, because now you need one over the other. You know, there's people that are walking in today with medications. There's 12, 15, 18, 20. I think the record in our office is a guy that was on 22 different medications, 23, something like that. And guess who he worked for? The FDA. It's like, you got to be kidding me, right?
Right.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the triggering mechanisms generally of hypertension. I know this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax, you're going to be presenting this topic, high blood pressure and its effect on cardiovascular and neurological systems and so forth. And listen, folks, if you're on any kind of hypertension medication and you want to figure out what's causing it, number one, what's causing the blood pressure problem and how to fix it and how to get off these medications that are killing you, this is an opportunity that you should not set aside, because I promise you, you're going to learn a whole lot.
Well, I think one of the things, too, is I think there's an understanding that people don't realize when you talk about essential hypertension, what's the cause? It's unknown. It's idiopathic.
And so that's idiot what?
Idiopathic.
Oh.
I thought you said, never mind. I'm not saying anything derogatory towards you, Tom, but I'm saying
thank you, Scott. I appreciate that a lot. Just remember, you have to drive home with me later on.
That's right. But 90% of these to 95%, depending on which study you're looking at, are essential hypertension, which means it's unknown. So we're going to give you some medication. Hopefully I'm going to hitting it in the right way that I can bring that number down. We're playing a game bringing numbers down. Where there's a secondary also, we know of some kidney damages or some endocrine problems that might be happening on the secondary, but we're looking at the majority of these are about 90% of our idiopathic.
So, idiopathic. Unknown.
Unknown.
Don't know why it happened.
Right.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
You know, so when a patient comes in, you know, we're talking about a medical diagnosis of idiopathic hypertension, and you'll hear that term applied to so many other things as well. Idiopathic this, idiopathic that. It simply means that they don't know what the cause is within the realm of how they're looking at through that lens.
Correct.
And, you know, this is a situation where you really truly have to look at our paradigm of structural, chemical, emotional. Has the body neurologically been injured in some way? Are there biochemical influences that are outside, exogenous to the body, that are affecting the body's normal physiology, subsequently causing this? Are there stress patterns? You know, we are a society that are masterful at putting stress in our back pocket.
Right. I mean, and you know, you talk about some of the things. I look at the body is almost like, the heart is almost like a train. And like, you know, you have a certain amount of tracks. Let's talk about obesity. If I've got extra weight around my body, I've got more capillary beds I got to fill. I got to push more blood flow. I have to keep up with the demand that the cells need from me, from the heart. And so blood pressure can go from that on just the physical basis of that. You've got things like stress. Stress is, and what's interesting when you take a look at the anatomy of how the blood vessels are, it's not just the heart pumping it. You've got blood vessels that are actually embedded in the muscles. So every time you squeeze the muscle, it helps move the blood along. But if I'm tense and tight and everything's stressed out, my muscles are tight, it gives me more of a resistance. So stress mechanism is one way of that way physically. And then there's also things called sympathetic, parasympathetic. There's these terms that are there when we're in flight or flight and running away, that the body's organized in such a way to make your body survive at that particular point. But it can also raise blood pressure. And if you've got things in that constant state, it can push really hard on that to make actually that heart work harder. There's also a parasympathetic, which is the rest and digest. And like you said, time, you know, technology, boy, I tell you, it's pushing us and pushing us and pushing us to do more and more and more and more and more if you want to stay ahead of the game in whatever business you might be in.
You know, everything is expedient today, and we're having to stay on the mark constantly. Years ago,
immediate knowledge,
you know, immediate response. Right. You know, somebody texts you something. If you don't text back in a nano moment,
right,
you have somebody on the other end who is irritated.
Is offended, right.
It's an incredible situation. I used to have a flip phone and I used to have an iPad, and I thought it was good to go until
the dumb phone, right.
The dumb phone. I liked my dumb phone until I took over for, you know, as chairman of the International College of Applied Kinesiology. Then I got a smartphone. I'm not sure how smart that is, because now it's tethered to my derriere and I've got to use it all the time. And it's like craziness. You know, here's the situation, and we're going to talk about this more specifically. I know we're setting the stage for, you know, not only today's program, but this coming Wednesday evening, May 1st, at 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Here's the deal. We go to our docs. The docs say, oh, my God, your blood pressure is so high. And obviously, and then they write up a script, and these people stay on these drugs for the rest of their life. Well, there's two things there. One, you never make a diagnosis based on one situation,
reading.
Ever, no matter what the situation is, or any diagnostic, even in blood work, you never make a diagnosis based on one finding. But here's the situation. Then they put people on things like beta blockers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Beta blockers can kill you. And it's one of the side effects. It's called death.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to make sure that you're understanding what the effect is, how other things are going to interface with that. Because if you just arbitrarily write a script, well, we have this going on, we have muscle tetany, so we're going to do this. We're going to do a calcium channel blocker. We're going to do a diuretic. We're going to do a tranquilizer. Basically, I just hit all the primary ways that, and
right,
then combinations of these things. So, you know, how many people truly, you know, meeting the parameters have hypertension, or is it just a white coat syndrome that they buy into and subsequently they're stuck on meds the rest of their life?
You know, I don't have a percentage, but I know when we take a look at people in our office, I'd say at least 50 to 60% of those people can be taken care of easily without, I mean, like you said, the parameters. 128, hey, you're 28 years old, you know, it shouldn't be that high. It leaves me dumbfounded in regards to how quickly they go to something that actually, and we actually should back up here a little bit, Tom. Think about what's going on here. When the body has a high blood pressure, what is the purpose of the blood pressure going to, or the oxygen going to, and I guess we're going to get into commercial here. We'll catch on to the backside of that. But what is the purpose of that blood going to? And if you deny it, what happens?
Absolutely. And that's the problem. That's where your side effects come into and the other ramifications. We're coming up to a break, and we've got a very interesting topic. Make sure you call us at 888-630-9625. We'll answer your questions very specifically. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We're in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here. And guess what? This Wednesday evening, the 1st of May, 7 p.m. at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. Dr. Scott Lamp, my guest in studio. Your host this Wednesday evening will be talking about high blood pressure, causes, and more importantly, how do you control it? How do you get it down? How do you get it off your medications? How do you make a difference without having other things show up because of how you're currently being treated? Here's an opportunity to really learn probably more than most physicians know about hypertension. We're going to talk a little bit about something that most people don't get right now. Again, 888-630-9625. Scott, you and I talked off the air a minute ago, and something that we'd been, you know, chewing on a little bit. Everybody wants to get off of salt.
Right.
And, you know, so they're going to have low salt this and low salt that. And the truth of it is that we need certain levels of salt, albeit if you're going to talk to me, it's going to be sea salt or Himalayan salt. It's not going to be regular sodium chloride, regular table salt, because of the osmotic pressure it builds up in the water retention within the body. Mm-hmm. But here's the question to you. What's the deal on salt? Does it really contribute that significantly to hypertension, or is another piece that we're missing?
Well, I think the thing is what type of salts we're talking about. And I think we're also looking at potassium. Let's give an example. We're talking about diuretics. And diuretics are supposed to kind of take the excess. And let's go and take a step back again, even farther. When we tell the body to, the body wants to go up and bring up the high blood pressure, and we're going to say, no, let's bring it down by using a medication, then all of a sudden the fluid starts collecting on our bodies a little bit. You'll start sometimes after a period of time, one of the side effects of blood pressure is actually feeling a swelling of the ankles because you're putting them into slow cardiac heart failure. What that means is the body can't keep on moving the blood. You're slowing it up. You also have a tendency to get fatigue because of the fact that the body wants more blood. I'm not feeding my masses. I'm not feeding my cells. So all of a sudden now I get a blood pressure when another side effect is fatigue. So if you get fluid collection, then they sometimes give you a diuretic. Well, the problem with a diuretic, you start losing potassium. Potassium is needed, and actually decreased potassium actually causes high blood pressure.
It absolutely does.
So
it's
like
cardiac failure, by the way.
And so if you're restricting salts and you're restricting potassium too on top of that, which is a salt itself, it creates a problem. It's an intracellular salt versus an extracellular salt. And I think another, we were talking about in the car on the way up here, is that, you know, when you're looking at a blood test and you take a blood test for your potassium levels, if it's an intracellular test and you're doing an extracellular test, you're not getting the full picture of it.
Not even a little.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing that is that parameters of normal potassium, the lower end is about 136, 135. And most physicians, most labs, as long as you're within those normal gradients, you're fine. The truth of it is, let's say that, and we're making these numbers up, that you have a potassium level on a fasting sample at about 139, 140.
Right.
And that's first thing in the morning. You're up, you're not stressed, your day hasn't begun yet. But later on in the day, when life starts cranking up, potassium is critical to the function of your fight-flight system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be eaten up like crazy. It's going to burn up. So now if you took that same potassium serum level at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, what you would find is that it may have dropped like a rock and is down around, you know, your toenails outside the normal parameters. And then one of the things that we see at that part of the day, interestingly enough, the incidence is higher than is cardiac failure.
Right.
You go into cardiac shutdown.
Right.
So we're dealing with a very precarious situation, and it's not, you have to read through and in between the lines on all of these things. You know, so this sodium calcium situation, there's more than just stop the sodium. Your body needs sodium. If you don't have enough salt in your body from combined salts, meaning sea salts and so forth, you risk what we're talking about.
Right. And I think the other thing that's interesting too is when you talk about potassium, there's one of the things that actually puts potassium into the cell is insulin. And if you get insulin resistance with diabetes, what happens?
You got a problem.
You got a problem. So that's where a lot of times the diabetes and the sugar handling problem is a cardiovascular problem on top of it.
So we're going to pick that apart in a little bit more carefully. I know this Wednesday evening you're going to go into it quite in depth. I don't want to steal a lot of your fanfare because this is an interesting, very interesting subject. It's one that, you know, we see all the time. And if people would really get that, this is truly a do-it-yourself situation. This is where people get in trouble. And they don't realize that their action steps and the things that they're doing are causing so much of what comes about. And it doesn't need to be controlled by medication. It needs to be controlled by shifts and changes in lifestyle.
Yeah.
And little shifts, little changes can make huge, huge differences than anything else. You know, a doc wants to drop weight. A doc wants you to, you know, avoid certain things. A doc wants you to take these medications for the rest of your life. The problem is that, do they work? Yeah, maybe sometimes if they throw the dice and they hit the right situation. But ultimately what takes place is that they're not identifying the trigger mechanism. They're just throwing the blanket out there. And you can figure it out. You can be very specific. And I know that's what you're going to do this Wednesday evening. We're coming up on a break, the halfway point of the program. You need to give us a call at 888-630-9625. We'll take your calls. Don't go away.
In Virginia, still the accident activity on westbound 66 west of 123 blocking the right lane, and this is causing very slow traffic from the Vienna Metro Station. Also, lots of slow traffic now on 95 southbound from Lorton to Woodbridge and 395 north. You'll find delays at Duke Street through the work zone along the left side of the roadway. Beltway and Maryland Interloop, lots of slow traffic now between Georgia Avenue and the 95 interchange. Now from GarageGoryPair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Tonight, mostly clear, a low around 45. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high near 66.
At the Rozell Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Attend strokes, heart, and high blood pressure on Wednesday, May 1st at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit rozellcare.com. That's rozellcare.com.
This is Dr. Tom Rozell. After 38 years of practice and almost a million patient visits, the Rozell Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies, or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at rozellcare.com. That's rozellcare.com.
Spruce up your space with a home equity line of credit from PenFed Credit Union. Act now and enjoy rates as low as 5.50% APR. Everyone is welcome to apply. Visit PenFed.org. That's PenFed.org. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Call 1-800-970-7766 to obtain details about credit costs and terms. PenFed got great rates
for everyone. Hey guys, Ken here from the hit podcast, Today's Growth. Who would win a 3-mile bicycle race, an 11-year-old girl or last year's winner of the Tour de France? It all depends on the bicycle. It depends on their vehicle. Both on a 10-speed and the pro racer is going to win every time. But put the racer on a tricycle and the 11-year-old wins every time. You see, it's not the driver, it's the vehicle. When it comes to generating revenue, it's exactly the same. If you have a job or a small business, you are riding a tricycle. You can only go so fast. If you need to make up lost ground, it's not going to happen on a tricycle. No matter how fast you pedal, it's simply not going to win the race. Why do many people with no schooling and no advanced degree often become very wealthy? Simple. They choose to only ride 10 speeds. When it comes to helping people create their next revenue model, both Forbes and Inc. recommend Income Store as a can't-miss when it comes to putting people on a 10-speed. Could your household or business use an additional revenue model that doesn't solely depend on you? If so, you need to check out IncomeStore.com. That's IncomeStore.com.
Are you still promising yourself or your spouse to get your will updated and a good basic estate plan in place? Are you finally ready to make sure you don't leave a mess behind for your family to clean up? Give me just 2 hours and I'll show you how. I'm attorney Mike Collins, host of Radio's Legally Speaking show. Come to my seminar and I'll teach you what you need to know about wills, trusts, taxes, probate, how to keep your money in your family. Register now at MikeCollins.com, and I'll even waive the tuition. That's MikeCollins.com.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest, your host this Wednesday evening, May 1st, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about the silent killer, if you will, hypertension, high blood pressure, but more importantly, why it does it, how the effects are, how it comes about. But this Wednesday evening, we're going to show you how you can get this thing under control, get off some of these meds, and make it work as a partner with your physician who's got you on some of these medications, because you need to know the more information that you have, the more that you can work in tandem with them. It's always important to have as much data as you possibly can. We're going to get right back into the program, but first I want to go to the phones. Robert, how can I help you? Thank you for calling.
Yes, I appreciate your taking the call. The beginning of this year, I went through the most amazing thing. In name of disease, I got it. I had a cold, I had the flu, I had pneumonia, I had bronchitis, and I had strep throat.
Sounds like your immune system had abandoned you, my friend.
Plummeted. Yep.
Oh, I did. Now, what happened apparently on top of all of that, because of the infections, I developed AFib. Now, my blood pressure has always been good, 110 over 68. I'm 83 now. My cholesterol and triglycerides are in the low area. They were below 100 most of my life, and now 110.
Is that your cholesterol, total cholesterol, Robert?
I beg your pardon?
Is that your total cholesterol? It was 110?
No, or did you say it was your triglycerides?
No, it's total cholesterol.
It's 110. Okay, keep going.
I was just wondering, I'm getting ready to go through a cardioversion, or whatever they call it, where they stop the heart and then restart it,
ablation,
hoping that it goes back in normal sinus rhythm. What is your experience with this kind of thing, and am I likely to develop AFib again?
Okay, so let me walk you down this path. Here's the situation with AFib, particularly what we call idiopathic AFib. We don't know why it's there, AFib. It just happened to start. And actually, with the history that you gave us, there's quite a few reasons why it may have come about. The depletion, if you will, of your minerals, your potassium, your sodium levels, your magnesium levels, and calcium and so forth. Everything that you went through this winter was burning up all of that. Then, in addition to that, your fight-flight system, your adrenal system, became unbalanced. And we're talking about a phenomenon that has the same balance called parasympathetic, sympathetic, in your system. That's your fight, flight, relaxation phase within your system. If your cholesterol level is 110, and I'm hoping to God that it's not, that's way, way too low, you're going to have all kinds of other problems because of that. So if you're on cholesterol medications and statins and things of that nature, dropping your cholesterol that low, it's in
dangerous.
My opinion, that's dangerous. It's dangerously low. You need to be much, much higher than that. And what it's doing besides dropping your cholesterol with those medications is also depleting your heart of something called coenzyme Q10, also your brain. And your heart will go into fibrillation with the depletion of that enzyme with CoQ10 plus the sodiums and the potassiums and so forth. Now, we don't know whether that's causing it, but I'm telling you that can be one of the triggering mechanisms. So here's the other piece. You asked if you go in and you do an ablation, will it come back again? The likelihood is there's a good possibility, let me put it that way, that it will come back again, that it won't work. They can either do electrical shock ablation or they can do a chemical ablation. So you have to really look at these other pieces, in my opinion, first, before you do anything else. You know, AFib is no fun. I mean, if it gets you, you're going to pass out. It can cause your heart to go into fibrillation, and it could be cardiac failure. And that's how they're going to scare you. And they're going to put you on blood thinners, and they're going to put you on other things after they do it. So my thought process, if it was me, or if I was sitting here talking to Dr. Lamp, Dr. Scott, I would simply say, look, buddy, let's try a few other things first, very quickly, to see if it settles down. But I don't know your whole story, Robert. I don't know everything about you, and it's very difficult for me to say. But I can tell you that fibrillation, arrhythmic patterns of the heart, whether it's the atrium, the upper chambers, or the ventricles, the lower chambers, can be a result of the things that we're talking about, and imbalances in the potassium sodium levels. Also, you know, with, you know, you got to look at, you know, what are the meds? What are the things that you're doing?
Your potassium has neurological conduction. It affects that. And that's one of the things I think Tom's alluding to. The other problem is again, with your cholesterol being so low, understand that I think cholesterol, there's things that are good about cholesterol. One of them, they actually make very good cell walls. And in the process of making good cell walls, it's kind of like you lock your house when you leave, you know, when you go to work or so and so forth, to make sure that nothing gets into those cells. Cholesterol makes up those walls. When you get to below about 150, I think, Tom, about 140, 150, you get below that, you start leaking those walls. Things can get in. Cancer rates can come up.
Cancer rates go up. High blood pressure can.
High blood pressure and those kind of things. You got things leaking out that are not necessarily good.
So you got to take a different look at this, Robert. If you were family, I would be encouraging you to get to somebody who can, you know, coach you through this, because just to submit to your, there's too many other factors that are involved here that I think you get in trouble. But your body was depleted this winter. You started using up a tremendous amount of mineralization and nutrients and so forth. You started further depleting, you know, the things that are necessary for your heart to work on, and you're left in the mess that you got right now. So I don't know if that helps you, but I would take a deep breath and reach out first.
Yeah, you would look at a lot of different things, and I think also when you're talking about the depletions too, and as being as young as you are, as 83 years of age, your digestive situation needs to be strongly looked at too, because that could be also causing you not being able to minerals and to be absorbed in the first place. So you got to look at dietary, you look at, you know, multiple avenues need to be looked at here.
So Robert, if we can be any help to you, please let us know. I appreciate your phone call. This is not a straight up situation. I would personally be uncomfortable with going through what I know and the background with the balance of nutrients and minerals, going through something that you're contemplating going through without further a further look at it and further trial. I don't, you know, again, not knowing your entire medical background, I can't tell you specifically, Robert, do this, but you really need to take a look at it. I sure would be if it was me. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, your host this Wednesday evening, May 1st, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're going to be talking about high blood pressure, hypertension, the effects thereof, why you got it in the first place, and what might take place if you made some shifts and changes. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if you actually could get off your medications and, you know, be coached properly and, you know, have enough information that you could ask your doctor the right questions and, you know, ask them, you know, what if, how come, so forth and so on. Again, we don't, you know, you don't want to drop your blood pressure too low because there's a problem. You don't want to drop your lipids, your blood fats too low. There's a problem. You know, Dr. Scott, with, you know, one of the, our patients will ask the question about, you know, why is hypertension, you know, so dangerous? Well, one, obviously, you can blow the blood vessel out if it's weakened. But also, insidious blood pressure, why it's called the silent killer, is that it begins to make tears in the arterial bed. And then what happens is your body tries to protect you. It starts putting the fat in there. But even if you drop your cholesterol, even if you drop your fats, your body is still going to do damage control. It's still going to try to protect you by putting fat in those tears. One of the tests that your physicians should use to determine whether or not you have any arterial damage is something called fibrinogen.
Right.
Because it's a measure of scarring, a scar tissue, these little tears that come about in the arterial system.
Right. And it's one of those things that we look at. So when we look at inflammatory, we're talking about inflammation, inflammatory markers. Fibrinogen is one of those type of things we look at as an inflammatory marker. And it is laying down scar tissue. But if you have an overabundance of that, that might be a problem for you. And that's something that needs to be looked in your blood. We'll talk about that at the class, C-reactive protein, C-reactive protein.
Coronary C-reactive protein.
So we're looking at,
you're being tongue-tied. Coronary C-reactive protein. You have two measures. You have C-reactive protein and you have coronary C-reactive protein. And the difference is the size of the molecules. One is specifically related to cardiac disease, and the other one is specific to inflammatory marker generally throughout the body.
Right. And so we're looking at it. We have an inflammation, and then once those markers come up, there's a lot of things you got to find out. Again, sometimes people don't like to use that because it doesn't tell you exactly, but you got to go track it down. You got to track down what the inflammation is. A lot of times you can get things actually in tooth decay or tooth problems that happen in the dental elements that sometimes can throw those up, or there's a lot of other things. I remember having a particular patient that came in, had the high sensitivity one that was running at 53. I sent him immediately to the hospital to get checked out. And when he was at the hospital, he was there for a while, and he said he couldn't come up with anything, but they wanted to do a CT scan of his gut. And once they did a CT of the scan, he was about to rupture his large intestine.
Yeah, not a good thing, right?
And so there are some things there you need to see. You got to track stuff down.
Yeah, that was a great catch. That was a great catch on your part. I remember that case.
Yeah, so it was one of the highest number I ever saw, at least in my case, dealing with those numbers.
888-630-9625 this Wednesday evening, May the 1st. Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host at the Rozelle Center for Healing, talking about this subject, high blood pressure and its effect on the cardiovascular system and on the brain. Al, how can we help you? Thank you for calling.
Yes, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I wonder if you could say a few words about how best to measure blood pressure. What do you think of these home kits that you can buy? What do you think of these machines that you find in stores? I've had some inconsistent results. I just bought one of these home kits. I haven't used it yet. But I've used these machines in the stores, and I consistently get below 120 over 80, which is fine. The health insurance company offers these biometric screenings, which they encourage you to do. I did one last year. They get 130 over 90. I said, that's impossible. It's never been that high. They keep measuring. They measured it several times. They finally got 120 over 80. A few weeks ago, I again did the biometric screening, same place. Again, they get 130 over 90. And I walked out of the place, went to a store where they had one of these blood pressure machines. It was 120 over 80.
Okay, so let me give you a couple. All right, so here's the deal. First of all, the position of the arm when you take the blood pressure is critical. You have to make sure that it's in the right position. It always should be close to the heart level, never high, never really, really low. That all by itself is going to shift the blood pressure. So you have to be consistent with that. If you're using a cuff, you know, where they wrap it around your arm and, right, and using the stethoscope, the person that's wrapping it better have some experience, because they can add too much pressure if they wrap it too tightly around your arm. And then subsequently your blood pressure is going to go up. It's never going to come down to the level that it needs to come down to. So you have some, you know, different things. Do they take it over the clothes? It should never be done. Any blood pressure should never be done over clothes. It should be directly on skin surface.
You shouldn't have the, and also if you have the ones that go on your wrist, I find those unreliable. Take it from the elbow, not from the wrist, and that's one of the things that play a part.
Up on the arm, it should be closer to the shoulder than to the elbow.
Yeah, again, Al, I'm sorry, we didn't hear you.
If you use one of the cuffs, like say one of these blood pressure machines that you find in stores, it should be upper arm, not closer to the shoulder and not closer to the elbow.
Now, your stethoscope should be just above your elbow is where it is, and the cuff is above that.
The cuff should be above it at the biceps level.
Right.
And the stethoscope, the hearing portion, should be just at maybe a quarter of an inch above the bend in the elbow.
That's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
That's the best placement of it. And, you know, it's like in our office, we always take blood pressures in three different positions. We take it in a patient when they're sitting, we lie them down immediately, we take it again, and we stand them up immediately, and we take it again. The fluctuation, I don't care what, the first time somebody walks into our office and we take blood pressure, I'm really not concerned of the quantity unless it's really through the ceiling, because, you know, we're taking them off the street, you know, we're taking their blood pressure, they just got done filling out forms and so forth. But what I am looking at, I'm looking at the fluctuation in the blood pressure. You know, if you take my blood pressure in the office after I've, you know, run into Scott in the hallway, it may be elevated. You take it in the morning when I get out of bed, it might be a little lower. No.
Sure.
So you really have all of those, you know, those different differentiating life situations. So you've got to take it where the patient lives, so to speak, how they are all the time. Those are the critical pieces.
What do you think of those machines that you find in stores?
They're okay. They're, you know, if you go to CVS, you go to any of the drug stores, at least you're going to get a consistent reading, because you're going to do it the same way every time.
That's been my experience, too.
My experience with it is that sometimes, especially with these electronic ones, I always like to go back to the old standards, because, you know, a lot of times you get error readings. You don't pick up the subtle sound sometimes. I think when you do it, then you actually hear it yourself is the better way of doing it.
You know, I get a blood pressure, you know, our staff members, and I trust them because we've taught them how to take it. But,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
if I see a blood pressure that, you know, based on my conversation and the other things I'm doing with the patient, doesn't make sense to me, I'm going in, I'm grabbing a blood pressure cuff and a stethoscope, and I'm listening to it myself.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Al, listen, I appreciate your call. I hope that's helpful for you. You know, but the truth of it is that, you know, most people in most doctors' offices do not take blood pressures the way they should be taken. And these electronic devices, as Dr. Scott said, the wrist devices are not okay. This Wednesday evening, May the 1st, this coming up Wednesday, 7 p.m., Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter, at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. We'd love to have you as our guest. I promise you, you're going to go home with a tremendous amount of information. And, you know, if we can begin to add little pieces to your knowledge bank so you can take control, so you can make a difference in your your health and wellness. That's what it's really all about. That's why we do this program. That's why we try to give you as much data. That's why we do it in our in-house presentations. Take advantage of it. There's no cost to you, but you got to register, right? So go to RoselleCare.com and go down halfway, register now, and you can register straight up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roszell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Roszell live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you who are listening across country, thank you very much. You know the time frames, and we appreciate our servicemen and women who listen to us. And God knows how you find us, but you do, because we keep getting all types of letters and mail from you, and we try to respond as quickly as we possibly can. Again, thank you, and thank you for your service. Our number here is 888-630-9625. That's how you find us here and how you register for Dr. Scott's program this Wednesday evening, May the 1st, at the Roszell Center for Healing in Fairfax. Is very simple. Go to RoszellCare.com. That's RoszelleCare.com. RoszellCare.com. Go about, halfway down the scroll of the first page, and it says register here. Click, and you're good to go. They'll call to confirm your presence. And remember, all of our in-house continuing education programs are a gift to the community. Why? Because we want you to have as much data as you possibly can. That's why I wrote my book, Ageless Health. Health is a do-it-yourself program. You are in control. You need to be in control. You need to have as much data as you possibly can have. So whatever we can do for you, it's a matter of just reaching out, and we'll make that happen. Dr. Scott, let's get into what you're going to do this week.
Well, I think we're going to cover, again, some of the causes a little bit. The real big thing with you got to take a look at what's the effects of the arteries. Tom, you were talking about before, and the tears, what can cause some of the tears and things like that. That plays a big part. We're going to talk about some of the solutions that can be done, some type of exercise, different type of exercise programs. We're really looking at, again, as our motto is a triangle of structure, chemistry, and the psychological and the stress mechanisms and how to handle those. An old cardiologist used to be a very functional-based, Dean Ornish, and he talked about the elements. If you want to reverse plaquing, you got to look at nutrition, and exercise can help, can either slow down the plaquing mechanism or even possibly even stop it. But if you want to reverse it, you got to do anti-stress along with it. So those are the combinations that we kind of look at ourselves very strongly to see if we can do to help you out.
You know, the interesting thing is that patients come in, whether it's high blood pressure problems or they have other things that are going on, and they ask the question, oh, my God, how did this ever happen to me? Mm-hmm. And you look at them, and in gentleness, my brain goes, lifestyle? You know,
right.
Understand that you've been putting things away, that you're not eating the way you were supposed to. Again, I think I mentioned on a program a few weeks ago, I did a presentation down in Florida to about 100-some-odd docs, and I was talking about chronic pain patterns and inflammatory reactions and so forth. And I asked the question, I said, how many of you guys have been in practice 10 years, 20, 30, 40, people like me who I'm just starting my 43rd year in practice. And I said, you guys have been in practice 30 or more years. I said, do you find patients easier to fix today than you did when you first started practice, or did you find it much more difficult? And to a one, exactly.
Yeah. Harder.
Much more difficult. And so why? Are we different? Are we different coming out of the womb? Well, yeah, because of the influences that have affected our parents, but also the fact that our lifestyles, our decisions, our foods, the inactivity levels, our iPhones and all those things are taking a major, major hit to our bodies.
You know, and every time I'm on this talk, it's talking about metabolic type things like this, I always refer back to the blue zones. And those yes. areas where people live the best. And if you really look at it, what's the major factor involved in it? Controlling their environment.
Absolutely.
And then they live longer than everybody else. They're not on medication. They're living and thriving. They're 80, 90 years old, still doing some working, still walking around. And when they pass away, it's fast and quick, and it's their time is up. No suffering and things of that nature. So it's really controlling our environment.
It's incredible. You know, we have the ability to change virtually everything by ourselves if we understand that we have had our fingers in the gruel, stirring it up and mixing it up over a period of time and years, and it just keeps, adding one to the other. We're coming up to that part of the show where we have to say adieu. We see you next time, next week, and we love you all. Bye.